When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Yo, I hope you're ready. Are your ears ready? Is your heart ready? Is your soul ready? Because
get on your fucking feet. It's time for the Wolf and Owl podcast up in this bitch. Now blow your horns.
Yo, if you're walking, turn that walk into a run. If you're sitting, turn the sitting to a stand. Yo, if you just watch your TV, turn the TV off, because this is the Wolf and Owl.
This is not to be listened to passively. Get on your feet. Get your hands in the air. It's time for the Wolf and Owl podcast.
Yeah, peace. That was my favourite intro ever.
That's good, wasn't it? Although I did swear quite loudly, and the kids were like getting ready for school and stuff. So
what is the school with your kids? Are you swearing in front of them a lot at the moment?
Or? No, I'm trying not to, but I have done.
I'm just going to jump in here because there's quite a big thing going on at Romish's house at the moment. Lisa has lost his pair of jeans.
Let me tell you what happened, right? Lisa is very, very tidy, incredibly tidy, right? To the point where I would argue she has a slight problem, okay? And Lisa sees me as subhuman in terms of my level of tidiness and just kind of leaving stuff about. So I would describe us as on the surface, completely incompatible to live together and enjoy a life together.
I think it's the best way to be, though.
Why is it the best? Because I can see how it's the best way for me, because I put stuff anywhere and Lisa tidies it away. For her, it's a life of agony.
No, but I think your sort of muckiness has probably quelled her down. Like your sort of like bad hygiene.
This is absolute. What are we? 2 minutes in, we're into classic Tom Davis territory here. I haven't said anything about hygiene, right? I thought as soon as he said muckiness, I knew here we go. He's going in two footed here, right? I didn't say muckiness. I'm talking about tidiness. All right. Just so you know, guys, you won't be able to see this. Tom's so excited about how he's insulted me. His glasses are steaming up.
It's really hot in the room I'm in.
She's found them.
Guys,
the swan has found the jeans. Yes.
Yes, boy. I know how much you love those jeans.
She had put them away, the long and the short of it is Lisa... Oh, Charlie's in there. Oh, the kids are in the room. I'm doing a podcast. Do you want to say hello?
Hello,
to just
guys.
Shout hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, boys.
Hello.
He can't see you because you're not on the camera, look.
Hello.
Hello, mate. Who we got here?
He can't hear you. This is
Hello.
Charlie.
Hello.
Yes, Charlie.
My name's Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Okay, right. I'm doing a podcast now.
Okay, bye.
Bye, love you.
Hey, Charlie, mate.
Bye.
What a legend.
What's that, Alex?
Can I go in the camera?
You can come and say hello to Tom quickly. This is Alex.
Hello.
Yes, hello, Alex. My man. My favourite
he can't
guy.
Hear you, but hello, he says Alex. Hello. He says you're his. He said, my man, Alex.
Hi.
Okay,
hey,
let's go. I'm doing a podcast. Yeah, he said, are you good, Alex?
I am.
He is, yeah. Charlie's a bit upset because he had France in the sweepstake at school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's a bit annoyed about that. But
him and a whole nation have cried.
Yes. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. First, we were talking about your little sly dig. Well, not even sly. It was absolutely blatant. Lisa tidies away stuff and then can't remember where she's put it. So in my head, I've put something somewhere and I think it's roughly in that area. But it's not in a tidy place. It's just like on a worktop or in a pile somewhere. And then I come back to that pile to like retrieve the thing and it's gone. And then I say to Lisa, do you know where blah, blah, blah is? And she'll go, I have a vague recollection of type. I'm just
Lisa
saying.
Lisa has got a much cooler voice than that, by the way.
I don't think Lisa's got a cool voice.
I think she's got a lot. Her voice is cooler than that for death.
It's cooler than what I'm doing, yeah, sure. I don't know if it's cool.
I have a question for you, my learned friend.
Go on.
Are you a hoarder?
Am I a what?
Hoarder.
I'm a bit of a hoarder, yeah. How do you know that? Have I got that vibe about me? Oh, no. Here we go. So Tom's now currently looking at his audio setup like a child trying to figure out a Rubik's Cube. The lack of understanding that spread across his face is actually quite breathtaking. The way he's looking at his laptop and his microphone and his headphones now is like he's never seen this equipment before in his life. It's unbelievable. It's like if you saw sort of a bear trying to hook up a PlayStation. So just so you know, I don't know how much we're going to include this in the edit, but suffice to say, Tom Davis has had, I would describe it as one of his most stressful periods since we started the podcast.
I would say that's one of the most stressful periods of my life.
It was,
that was horrible.
Basically, like technology is amazing, right? It is amazing. When it goes wrong, I think it really takes away all the layers of how, you know how you go, yeah, things are going all right. Yeah, I'm feeling quite chilled out and stuff like that. As soon as something goes wrong with technology, you get an insight into what your psychology is really like. Right?
I've gone from being really chilled, enjoying that little chat, to sitting in a chair and I'm you know, like the bloke they find in Seven when he's in that chair and he's sweating excrete. Like, fucking, I feel like
I mean,
now.
Thank God my kids left the room before that episode started. They would have been absolutely horrified.
I don't understand for a minute, right, why you can go from being, from something can go from working to not working like that in no time. It's so fucking frustrating. It's just literally feedback. I feel like writing a really strong letter to someone.
Right.
But I don't know who.
You don't know who?
Who?
Well, let's narrow it down. The headphones have gone wrong, so.
Yeah, well, that's Dr. Dre's fault. Because these are Beats.
How were those Beats headphones before that just happened?
Not as good as the Samsung Galaxy ones I've got, but I haven't got those connected to the. I've got those connected.
Well, I've had quite a few messages about how annoying that advert is.
Yeah. I've never listened back to it. I skipped through it like most.
Yeah, because apparently I don't know for definite if there is, but there is a skip. I'm sure there's a skip button on every single podcasting, but I don't know. A lot of people that are listening don't seem to have that function. It's weird.
Yeah. Just like the same people who complain about the intro.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to enough of these, you can quite quickly fly through that. Work out exactly how long it goes on for and skip through it. I feel,
anyway,
you know, like...
What, go on, what are you saying?
You know, well, we talk about football. I feel like when something like this goes wrong in the world of podcasting, it's like having a really bad touch in football. Mm. You feel like you've lost a moment.
Well,
a little.
I'm going to tell you. So a few months ago, we were doing one of these, and I had a similar issue with my headphones. And then what I was having is every time I was saying something to you, I was hearing myself back in the headphones like a second after I'd started talking. And I thought, this is not a big enough issue. We've got to record the podcast. So I carried on, but I just didn't feel in the room properly. It's something. It messes with you a bit. So now I can tell you're a bit. You're a bit thrown.
No,
you feel like the crowd have got on your back. You've maybe played it.
I feel like Gazza in 1990.
Yeah, you slammed it into like Rose Ed instead of like knocking it on or whatever. And so,
you're
feeling
How do you think Kylian Mbappe feels today?
Well, I saw a lot of posts last night about, you know what? When people say to you, why is football exciting? Show them tonight's game. You know, all of that. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. People get very excited, don't they, when a game like that happens.
Personally, I thought both games were a credit to the beautiful game. I thought Switzerland, amazing. Yeah. I just don't think France looked like they cared. I'm very nervous about today. I'm very nervous about England.
So as you're listening to us now, it's the day of the England-Germany game. By the time you hear this, we will either have marched on to the quarterfinals or the whole country will have realised what we all suspected, which is that this team have not really got it together in this tournament.
I think this team... Man, I have no doubt that this team are going to fire through Germany.
You reckon? Fire through Germany? It's a very aggressive way of putting it.
No. Right, okay. I've got this feeling that this is our year to do something very special.
Okay. A few questions on that. Now, I'm a big England fan, as are you.
Yeah.
I obviously want England to win the Euros. My question to you is, when you say that you've got a feeling that this is our year, is there any kind of evidence to support that? Or is that you found a fiver in one of your jeans pockets and so you feel like the luck's in or something?
Look, I've had this feeling before, I'm not going to lie. And then I've also, things have happened where things have turned out well in football. And I've had, like this season, I didn't have this feeling about West Ham. West Ham have been incredible, right?
So that sort of undermines your feeling theory. Carry on.
Yeah, no, but I just don't know. I can just see Saka just dancing at them tonight and Grealish just darting about and, you know, Kane just holding and moving and swerving. And, you know, I can just see guile and poise. I'm just excited.
Do you remember when Arsenal had Southampton in the FA Cup final and they played them a few days before and they beat them like 6-1? Yeah. I think it was 6-1. And Gordon Strachan, who was managing Southampton at the time, said, do you know what? I don't know how to explain it, but partway through that game, I just thought, we're going to win the FA Cup off these guys. Sort of thing. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder what feeling he has during that defeat. And he just said, I just can't explain it. Is that what you're talking about? Just a sort of a something in the air?
Did Southampton beat? Did they beat you in the FA Cup final? No. Oh, right.
But it was 1-0, I think.
Gordon. Yeah. So they got their vibe right.
Why did they get the vibe right? They lost.
Yeah, no, but it's better than 6-1. So he had a feeling that it was going to be better.
You might as well go, oh, I've got a feeling that it won't be the same result in the FA Cup final.
Well, no, it's the same result, but he should have said, I don't think it will get beaten as badly.
All these fans were going, I should fucking hope so, Gordon. You just conceded 6.
Well, do you ever look at Instagram stories and try and look people in the eye? In the stories.
What do you mean? As I'm watching the Instagram story, trying to look them in the eye?
Look at their eyes and see what steel and determination is there.
I think I'm pretty confident that I've never, ever, ever done that. Yeah, but go on.
Right, so I've been examining the psyche of the England players through Instagram.
Christ almighty. Okay, go on.
And I think they're ready for this. Like, just looking at their eyes. I would have loved
for you to have been a pundit in the studio. Just said, now we go over to Tom Davies for his take on that.
Well, let me tell you something. Listen, I know a lot of people sort of say, like, the Scotland game was bad. We haven't looked massively convincing against any team, but let me tell you something. I've been studying the Insta stories. I don't know if you know them, Gary. It's like a thing that appears. It's about 24 hours it appears.
Oh, Gary loves them. Gary loves his Insta stories.
Does Gary Lineker do Insta stories?
Oh, mate, he loves his Insta stories. He did a really good one. He was out yesterday playing golf with his sons. He did a good one yesterday. He had a day off.
That's my slight problem with Insta stories, right? When people overshare like that. Because now, you sounded like a stalker. Like it sounded like, I'm not saying you are a stalker. Obviously, I'm not saying that.
No.
So, you know, yesterday Gary was out playing golf with his sons. That's, to me, you shouldn't know that.
No, but what I'm saying to you, right, is you can tell a lot about where people are at through Insta stories.
Okay. So, whose Insta stories have you been watching?
Kieran Trippier's. Right. He was having a laugh.
Must be nice for Kieran Trippier. After the Scotland game, see you bellowing across the stand at him like a thirsty prick. And then to know, little notification, oh yeah, Tom's watched the story yet again. He watches every one of these. Normally the first little name that pops up.
Having a look when he puts the story up. Now, my mate, KT's a good guy,
just
man.
Just popping
KT's,
up on his KT's live. A... Hey, Kim. Tom here. Shout out, man. You were fire the other day.
KT, man. He's a shout out, KT. I know he listens, yeah, I think. Yeah, look, Saka looks in a good place. He's comical. He's having a laugh. He's a... I tell you, that kid's a credit to this whole... He's a credit, man, to his parents, to this nation. He's an amazing person.
I can't wait to see him play his best years of football at a different club. Because that's almost certain, isn't it?
Well, no, I don't know. There's a loyalty to him that strikes me. As long as you guys treat him nice.
I'd love to think that Arsenal treat players nice, but I don't know. I think that it feels like there's a bit of dissent. Anyway, doesn't matter. Let's not get into the issues of Arsenal Football Club.
Look, Harry Maguire looks on good form. There's a comic sort of cheekiness to him.
Is there?
Sort of confidence.
There's a comic cheekiness to Harry Maguire, is there?
Yeah, that's sort of coming through. I'll tell you, he's really having a great time in the camp. Kyle Walker.
Is he?
Kyle Walker's having a right laugh. Yeah.
He likes a good time, doesn't he, Kyle Walker?
Yeah.
Loves it.
He was joking around. He was having that kind of time. He's like a dog up a leather coat.
So what do you reckon England are going to beat Germany?
No, I'm not going to say it's going to be 5-1 like when we beat them in Munich that time.
Gordon Strachan's out again. So you're going to put your neck out and say you don't think it's going to be the same result as that 5-1 result?
No. But I think I'd be surprised if we don't score at least 3 goals.
Wow. Now, that is a big prediction. Yeah. You'll be surprised if we don't score 3 goals.
Yeah. I just think, right, Gareth.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
I love Gareth. As you know, you've seen a picture of me and Gareth. Yeah,
by the way, just so you know, he's talking about... I know it sounds like he's talking about a mate of his. He's talking about Gareth Southgate, the England manager. But carry on, yeah.
Gareth Southgate. I love Gareth. And I just think there's a thing in Gareth that's like, okay. Right, have you ever played cards before?
Yes, I've played cards before, yeah.
Poker?
I don't think I've played poker, no.
Now, poker is an incredible game. And it is a game that is won and lost on... risk, assertion, and bluff, right?
Rab, yeah.
Okay?
I know.
Yeah, Rab. Right. Gareth is playing poker at the moment. He's got his cards. We all think, oh, shit, he hasn't got much of a hand. But what Gareth has got is a flush or a straight run or something that's really good.
One of the most needless analogies I think I've ever heard in my life. First, you asked me if I know poker. And then proceed to deliver an example that suggests, to be honest with you, that you don't fucking know poker.
I'm just saying, right? There's a flex inside that guy that I just fucking...
I think he... I like the way he dresses.
He's so shout out to Percival, actually, Percival Menswear, that have dressed him for this tournament.
Do you have to give them a shout out, bearing in mind you're already in their advert? I mean, I don't know how much more you're going to have to hang on to that corporate teat.
No, I'm just saying that they've dressed him nice, yeah. But he's all stylish. You know, one of my favourite things, and I was very close to getting it as a tattoo, you know, when he's just leaning back like that. That real passion in his face. And
you were going to get that as a tattoo?
Yeah. You know, King Gary,
he's got that tattoo. King Gary,
yeah.
Gary King, the person you deliberately wrote as a mega twat. You were going to get the same tattoo as him?
Mate, I think, I don't know, man. If England win this tournament, I'll definitely get some kind of tat.
What are you? Okay, if England win this tournament, tell me what tattoo you're going to get, please.
I don't know. People, I think maybe some designs could come in. Yeah.
We've already had people offer to tattoo you, by the way.
Something classy and sexy.
Classy and sexy, but signifies England's Euro victory. If there's any tattoo artist that could make that one of the most fucking challenging, challenging commission remits I've ever heard in my life.
Before you send over something sort of stupid like Harry Kane is the suspenders with an England shirt on, right, don't. I just mean like saying it's just subtle and nice.
What an incredible go-to image by you, by the way. Before you send something like with, I don't know, fucking Harry Maguire with his dick out, sort of playing with his nipple, just have a think about.
Oh, that's why I said classy and sexy. Right. So it's got sort of, yeah.
So we're looking for a classy, sexy England tattoo, which shouldn't be too difficult, because whenever I'm out and about and I see someone with an England tattoo, I always think, what a classy, sexy guy that must be.
Maybe it could be like it would look maybe quite cool, like a lion on a wolf's back.
What?
A lion on a wolf's back.
A lion on a wolf's back?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah.
Do you mean a lion? Like, what, you're like a lion mounted on top of a wolf?
No. Like the wolf has carried the lion. Hold
on a minute. The metaphor for that is that you've taken England to victory in the Euros. You know that, right?
No, the I don't wolf mean that, has but like my positive energy.
It's like a wolf carrying three lions on its back. Is that what you want?
No, I don't think a wolf could carry three lions.
Well, I don't think a wolf could carry a lion, Tom.
Mate, wolves are very, very fucking amazing.
Are they? Tell me what you know about wolves.
They survive in the cold or the hot.
Right.
They live in forests, but also sometimes in plains. They're the ancestors of dogs. They are loyal to their packs, but not to be crossed.
You know what this? You know what you sound like? You sound like my first book about wolves, is what you sound like. Something that Charlie might have. There might be people out there that are worrying about what might happen when, God forbid, David Attenborough goes on to, you know, pass away. And is there going to be somebody that can step into his environmentally friendly shoes? Well, have no fear. If you want a series of very basic facts, 60% of which sound completely inaccurate, Tom Davis is here for you.
Have you ever had, like, you know, those sort of vegan shoes? You know, the ones that are made of vegan leather and
my
stuff?
My problem with those vegan shoes is, so some of them are nice. Like, so for example, Adidas have just brought out a whole line of, like, they brought out these vegan Stan Smiths.
Yeah, Adidas?
Yeah, that's right. They took us to the football. They brought out these vegan Stan Smiths and these vegan superstars or whatever. And you can get decent vegan trainers. The ones that are, and like some, and actually the other thing is, I follow, this is quite boring, but we've started talking about this now. There's this thing called accidentally vegan footwear or something on Facebook. And sometimes trainers will just be vegan. Like a lot of the Yeezys are vegan. Some of the Jordans are vegan.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah.
So, just by accident, not by design. It's just happened that they haven't used any animal products in. But it's difficult. It's difficult. Anyway, but the ones that are specifically by vegan shoe companies, there are exceptions, but a lot of them look like they've been prescribed. I mean, that's kind of my issue.
Well, if you wear a pair of actual shoes,
yeah,
like shoes rather than your trainers.
You can get get decent vegan shoes.
Do you? Is that what you wear? Are you like 100% invested in that sort of vibe?
What do you mean, that sort of vibe?
Well, no, do you wear vegan trainers and shoes? You don't, you know, you're not like one of these vegans who just eats vegan stuff.
No, I try and dress vegan as well. But if can I say that 100% of my gear is vegan? No, because it's impossible. Even if you get a not,
yeah, because I've definitely seen you in a leather jacket.
That's what you've never seen me in a leather jacket.
I swear I've seen you in a leather jacket.
Did you? We were at a bar, and then as I walked out, I slammed the jukebox.
No, I swear. When I first knew you, yeah,
listen, Tom, don't start this.
I swear.
This is like your other story when I was head to toe in Superdry when we first met.
You know, actually, one of my favourite things of the last few days is the picture of you in your jeans and shoes.
You're such a dick. I was doing a league VT with Redknapp. He was telling me how much he loved that. You making me look like I was rocking the boot cuts. Where did you see that? Where was that? The actual guy?
That was in the breakfast, restaurant where we had our breakfast.
I had my breakfast
where you sat and watched me eat. But, yeah. There's three of them. I only could get a picture of one. But they all had, because we were at the rugby, right? It's a whole different vibe, the rugby look, to the football look, isn't it?
Yeah. I actually think going to the rugby, I know we didn't see as many people because we were going for as part of, like, you know, as part of filming and stuff, so they whipped us through. But the rugby fans we did see, how bloody polite and lovely were they, man? It was
also, yeah, do you know that all of them wore their masks throughout the whole game?
They all wore their masks throughout the whole game. When we got recognised, I mean, bearing in mind I've told a story on this podcast about, and by the way, I'm also fully aware that's one isolated incident. Most of the football fans we met up with were fine, weren't they?
Well, yeah. Absolute legends. There was that woman who was shouting out for ages.
Do you know what? If we're going to focus on isolated incidents from the football, we need to focus on this isolated incident from the rugby. After we'd come off from doing the challenge, we came down to like one of the exits from the ground and we had to get dressed quickly because Tom and I had to jump on a train, which was great because if we hadn't jumped on that train, I wouldn't have arrived home at 1 a.m. like I managed to. So we're stood there sort of like getting ourselves sorted out, getting the boots off, getting the trainers off. And a woman from like over the wall of the stand, I've got to say, was just sort of screaming at us at the top of her lungs, literally just sort of shouting questions at us.
But quite sort of weird questions, like they were quite specific, weren't they?
Do you know the other thing is, the way that she asked the questions, it wasn't like I'm inquisitive. It was like she was at immigration and you're trying to get in. That is the way that we were being asked questions by that woman.
It felt like quite an aggressive cop. In sort of like an 80s movie. Also, what's kind of indignifying is me and you were both, and we've both talked on this about, you know, our issues with our bodies. We're having to get changed in front of 25,000 people. And someone said to me, are you wearing that home? And I was like, well, I am now.
Yeah.
I'm not taking my top and my trousers off and being in my pants. That photo we all put up
of you, me and Jamie at the...
Yeah.
I've got to say, I'm not, I put it up because it's a funny photo, but in terms of actually how you feel about yourself, that was a low for me.
A lot of people said you looked sad in that photo, and I think it was a fair, you had a great time. I was just doing
my usual sort of, I'm with these guys, you know, that sort of.
Yeah. I'll tell you who really liked you, by the way, Duncan Weir.
Why'd you say that?
He really liked you. He really respected you.
Duncan Weir, Scottish rugby legend. He and I, we got on like a house on fire.
You know, it was one of the sweetest things where, because, you know, obviously me and you've got mutual friends, we're close, but watching you and him, your relationship blossom throughout the day was really sweet.
Hold on. What are you doing there?
No, really. I really enjoyed watching it. It's really nice. He was a lovely guy, Duncan, but it was nice. It was nice watching, you know, obviously.
Okay,
good.
Listen. You're making me and Duncan Weir sound like you're watching us on The Undateables.
No, right, look. You just hit it off straight away. And then you were chatting about different places in Scotland you went to and stuff like that. I felt the same. I felt a bit of a kindred spirit in Big SQ.
Yeah, Scott Quinnell.
Yeah, what a guy.
Mm.
They're really amazing guys, actually. I really enjoyed the rugby guys. I thought there was just something about them that just, sort of confidence about them that just, sort of, yeah. You know what? I just thought, maybe I've got these guys wrong.
Well, what did you think about them before we went and spent the day with them?
I was just quite sort of posh boys who are sort of like...
That, I think that's a very... Know. Rugby being posh is a very English thing, though. I don't think that's the case elsewhere. Yeah.
No, but, you know, Greeno, all of them, just great guys.
Yeah, really, I genuinely... Yeah, we had a great time. It was great. The thing that I can't relate to... I mean, I can't relate to anything about sports people because I don't have a competitive streak. I don't have commitment.
Oh, you have.
No, I don't. What are you talking about?
You have. You, mate, on that field... I can't say how it ended, but I could see, I saw a competitiveness in you I'd not seen before. The same like it had been awakening you.
Don't confuse humiliation avoidance with competitiveness. All right?
No, I could see that you were competitive. You were really good. I was watching you thinking, actually, you'd have been an all right rugby player.
Right, okay. Now we've moved into the realms of pure fantasy. Anyway.
I digress.
The other thing I can't relate to, is just how hard you've got to be a rugby player. Like, you know, we were practicing catching kicks, and the thing we were doing is we were having a ball kicked to us, and completely untouched, we were having to try and catch this ball. Whereas when we sat and watched the rugby, and you know, obviously I've seen rugby before, you have to catch the ball while a 19 stone man is running at full tilt towards you. I mean, it's mad. And like a Duncan, who is a really good mate of mine now, Duncan Weir, he was saying he's had serious injuries off the ball. It's a nightmare. You shit yourself. When the ball's coming into you like that, you know that you're about to get clattered. So it's like catch the ball and then take a horrible hit. I can't even imagine what that's like.
Well, Big SQ was saying to me during the game, he said, they've got no respect for anyone who you've got to basically be able to take the hits and the licks. And if you don't, you're just a joke. You sort of get ostracised from the community, really.
Ostracised from the community? What happens? Yeah. You get your passport taken away from Rugby Town. What does that mean?
No. Like when you're out about with all the, you know, the rugby lots, you know.
Yeah.
Say if we went into a bar and like, you know, it's me, you, and name one other person we know.
Rob Beckett.
Okay, me, you, and Rob Beckett, and you, like, flunked a kick or something, so everyone in the rugby community would know, and they'd be like... I don't know why I've asked for another person.
Mental. Like, when you go into these examples, it's yet another just absolutely pointless hypothetical.
No. Right, we go in, me, you, and Rob Beckett, and we just play rugby, yeah. Right? For, I don't know, Sydenham Town, right? And we go in and I'd say 3 pints of bitter, please, and we'd all have a pint of bitter. And you sort of stand there a bit awkwardly because you've flunked it on a catch because you've blossomed out, right? And then someone will come out and go, what's he doing here? Because he blossomed out of a blooming catch. Yeah. And I'll go, he's still our friend. And then we're like, not in the rugby pub, he's not. He can't be coming in here. So.
And so what? The only Asian man in the group is asked to leave?
You know,
because I'll say something like, so this is about my catching the kick, is it? And they go, yeah. There's nothing else. And they go, no. And then I go and probably do a tweet.
Let me give you another example. Me, you, and Rob Beckett go to the pub. I've missed the catch. They come up and I go, 3 pints of bitter, please. And the guy would give us 3 pints. We turn around and I go, oh, bloody hell. God, I missed that catch. And someone would turn around and say, oi, did you miss the catch today? And I'd be like, yeah. And they go, get out, you bloody. You know, blossom. That was a word that someone used quite a few times on Saturday. I've got quite into.
Yeah. Why did you have to go through? Why do we have to order 3 pints of bitter in this story?
I have no idea.
And why does Rob have to be there?
I don't know. In my head, the example was going to be different.
Okay.
But yeah. It's a different way of looking at the world, isn't it? Rugby and football and, you know, snooker. That's what I love about sport.
Yeah.
Your brain's made up of different things.
Yeah. I think like sports people are built different. They just are.
Yeah. Oh, mate, yeah. There was something about them all. Great. I mean, the confidence of Will Greenwood.
But you know, the other thing is, so we did a thing. We've done a few of these league VTs. Freddie and Jamie obviously immediately take to things a lot better than the non-sports people, right?
Yeah,
but on the occasions that we've done stuff, and they've been struggling to do it as well, the difference between me, Jamie, and Freddie, apart from massive physical disadvantage that I've got compared to them, is if they can't do something, they cannot leave it until they've mastered it. Whereas, whereas I just don't care. Like, what I mean is I respect what it is, but I'm just not that bothered about getting it. Whereas they find it, they find it unacceptable to walk away from that thing without at least having achieved a certain standard at it, you know? And I find it impressive, but I just don't have that in me at all.
When we were doing the Red Nap show, there was a moment where Jamie and Thierry were both having to scoop a ball into a basketball net, right? Just with their foot, like kick it into the basketball net. And I'm not joking, it took about an hour for them both to get it because it was a fucking hard trick, right? Where you got to do a few kick-ups and then end up with it scoring a basket. It just, neither of them would leave it. The whole crew was standing there, but they wouldn't leave it until they got it done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, is that the record that finished at 3 a.m. you told me about?
Yeah.
Right, do you want to do some emails, Tommy?
Oh, mate, I'd love to get my teeth into some sweet, sweet emails.
Once again, thank you so much to The Swan for her sterling work. Hi, Wolf, Owl and Swan. Thanks for the great podcast. I look forward to each episode. It's really interesting to hear both of you discussing your body issues and hang-ups because you come across as confident and intelligent guys. It's a reminder that we all have hidden depths and there's more to people than initially comes across. About the Galaxy earbuds ad, Tom says at one point it's great listening to Ed Sheeran and the sound quality is so good that he feels like he's sitting on Ed's lap. My question is, does Tom really listen to Ed Sheeran's music and what tracks in particular would he recommend? Thanks again for the entertainment. First of all, thank you so much, May, for your email. Great email. I'm baffled as to what
May... How's it spelled? Is that spelled... Is it spelled
how is
M-A-Y?
May? How is May spelled?
No, well, there's two ways, isn't there? It's M-A-E or M-A-Y.
You're absolutely right. M-A-Y.
Yeah. You're going to sort of like get your big old ingrown toenails and fucking fly at me.
That is a problem I told you about in confidence. No, I don't have any good tennis. So go on.
Yo, May. Yeah, I love Ed Sheeran. Big fan of his. Big fan of his early stuff, his middle stuff, and now his what's becoming his later stuff.
Okay. What a needlessly long way of saying that you like his stuff. You know when people say I like his early stuff?
Yeah.
The implication the expectation is there's going to be a period of Ed Sheeran's work that you're going to like less.
I like it all.
I liked his stuff I liked his stuff in 2007. The stuff moving on in 2008 was good. 2009, another good year. 2010, I really enjoyed his music then.
2011, I enjoyed that. 2012, I didn't think I was going to like it, but I really enjoyed it. 2013 and 14, really, yeah, that was great. 15, yeah, I enjoyed that. No, I really like Ed. I really, really like Ed. I smile when I listen sometimes. Sometimes I sit there in solace and I just sort of like, yeah. Him and Dermot Kennedy. They're two guys I love to
listen to. Love Dermot Kennedy. There's a guy when I started gigging, Murray Cummings. And he's doing stand-up when I started doing it. And he was a funny bloke. And I remember once he said to me, I said to him, how's it all going? He goes, yeah, good. He goes, my cousin's started doing music and he's doing all right. He's starting to do all right, I think. So I'm going to go to one of his gigs. And I was like, all right. And then the next time I saw him, he's like, oh, my cousin's he wants me to do some video thing for him. So I'm going to try and do a bit of that. And then next thing I know, he says, my cousin's asked me if I can go and do videos for him. Anyway, his cousin was Ed Sheeran. You know how the story ends. But it was just
wowzers.
And now Murray did his... I think it was for Apple, this documentary about following him around on tour. Murray directed it and everything, and now he lives in LA. He's living that life as involved in film. But it's so mad to I know that doesn't sound like an amazing story, but hearing Murray talk about him when they weren't sure what was going to happen. Obviously they had no idea he's going to become the phenomenon he's gone on to become.
Right.
But this, I think people are starting to like his music. That it's so mad, isn't it? Even when you think about people we know, you and I even, Rob, Josh Widdicombe, Walshy, all of these guys, Catherine Ryan, all of these people that you see You'd see them at tiny gigs. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then, like, yeah, anyway.
I feel, you know, this is a, this, and I don't want to sound, I remember I saw Ed Sheeran, I was doing like a gig, Nando's used to do gigs back in the day, right? When Nando's was first coming out, so they used to do these live sort of music and they'd have a bit of comedy and stuff on. And I remember it was the one in London Bridge. I went with a couple of mates. Someone I knew at Nando's at the time, and Ed Sheeran just got up and sung. And no one knew him. It was when at the time he was couch surfing. He was living on people's couches, and I remember sitting there genuinely thinking, this feels so special. Mm. Like what this kid's doing, just genuinely like, just blew the room away. You know, literally to the fact where you're just going out and just trying to sort of listen to any of his stuff again, and he's fucking phenomenal. I proposed to my missus to an insurance song.
What, in a Nando's?
No, not in a... I met her in a Nando's, but...
So what was the song?
Lego House. Beautiful song. He's just... there's a lot to be said about someone who can write their music, write good, amazing lyrics. He's got a sort of Springsteen vibe to him.
Yeah.
I think, at times. Yeah.
Well, mate, listen, thank you for your email, and thank you to highlighting to me there are different ways of spelling mate. And maybe, you know, before I go in on the attack on Tom, I should think twice. The Swan's in the room. Hello, Swan.
Hello.
Are you off now?
Mm-hmm.
Have a great morning.
Where's she off to?
Where, Tom wants to know where you're going.
The school run and then to P2.
School run and then person.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Thank you. This. See you later. Bye, Tom.
See you. Thank you for a great selection of emails. Tom didn't like the first one, but...
Oh, no. Why?
No, I'm joking. Well, all right. See you later. Love you. Okay, ready for another?
You sound absolutely crestfallen when you said that.
I know. I shouldn't have made that joke, actually. Okay. Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan, thank you for the amazing podcast. As everyone says, the laughs have proved to be a highlight in these extraordinary times. Massive fan of both your work, Majorly Successful, King Gary, Asian Provocateur, and Rum and Rummish, to name a few. My question is as follows. I know that your line of work is different to the majority of your listeners, including me, but as restrictions ease and we settle into some form of normality, can you share anything you've learned from the last 18 months or so that will change the way you go about things moving forward? This could either be work or home related or both. I ask as I think we've had to adapt so much in some ways for the better, but I fear we could forget the positives and slip into the old routines. Sorry for the rambly question. You're both incredible human beings. Love, Dara. P.S. Please do a live show. I think I know this guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think this is the Dara that works for Twitter. I did like a gig for like a corporate gig for Twitter ages ago, and I think I met Dara at this gig. I recognise the name. Dara, can you let us know if it's you, please? Really appreciate it. Thank you for your email.
Sounded a little bit thirsty. What? Sounded quite thirsty the way you
was
said it.
Was it? What?
But, yeah, it's just sort of like, yeah. No, this thing, like, it was just a bit like, oh, hey Dara. Remember me? Type vibe. I'm like, of course he remembers you. This is your podcast.
No, but I'm asking if that's the same Dara to get in touch.
Yeah, but there's low Dara's a really common name.
I'm not going to give the surname here, but I've seen based on the surname as well.
Oh, okay. Well, you should
it's like me going, oh, hey, Dara, thanks for the email. So I miss you, miss seeing you on Mock the Week. You think I'm that much of a fucking idiot? I'm looking at the full name.
I didn't know that, did I? I just thought he'd signed it off Dara. Okay, I never knew that people put surnames on them.
All right, go on.
You know what, Dara? I think the thing that I think it's that work-life balance is one of the most important things, for me anyway, is that, you know, I spent so long at home, what, nearly 2 years, I suppose, at home, where usually I'm out working, filming, whatever, writing away, and I think that's one of the things I'll try and sort of continue working from home a bit more and sort of trying to get that work-life balance. I also think it's, you know what, I'd actually say something I'm a bit guilty of is I think during the actual lockdowns, I was a lot better at keeping in touch with family and some friends that, you know, and I was probably better at that. And I think now things have opened up a bit. That is something I've probably regressed negatively and sort of promised myself and said, oh, yeah, you know what, I'm going to keep this up and make sure I phone, you know, my parents sort of 2 or 3 times a week, or phone my sister a little bit more often, or phone friends that I haven't spoke to. And I think I have been a bit culpable of slipping back into a bad habit of not doing that, which I sort of know myself, and I've sort of had that awareness in the last sort of week or two that I have sort of slipped into that sort of bad habit. I think it's such a strange time. I think, you know, having gone through a sort of the time that we have of self-recollection. I think, you know, fitness wise, I'll take that with me. I think like, I've trained through most of this, and you know, I've kept that going now, and I'm trying to sort of keep that sort of the healthy side of it. Sort of, I didn't fall into the trap of drinking a lot. I think the first sort of month of lockdown, I drank loads, and then I sort of realised that probably would be a very negative place for me mentally if I kept going on that. So no, I think there's pluses, there's minuses. I think the main thing is of all, is to come out of this. And yeah, I was. Have you learned new skills? Have you pushed yourself to be sort of better as a human? And yeah, I think that's the most important thing, Romsky, wouldn't you say?
Really nice and fulsome answer for Dara there. Thank you very much, Tom. I would echo a lot of that. Do you know what? The one thing, I'm trying to think of a specific example to give you. There's lots of things that I've reflected on, like, but I think the thing about being, you know, you get really busy with work and stuff. And one of the things that happened to me was when we do Ranganation, on the first series, the production company Zeppotron are based in Shepherd's Bush. And so we record the show on a Thursday. We write the show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that means I go into Shepherd's Bush Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then go to the studio on Thursday to record it. And I go in early in the morning, or not early, but, you know, first thing in the morning and start writing. Because of us going into lockdown on the second series, I couldn't go into the office. So I wrote from home. And the big difference with that is I was able to do the Ranganation, but also do the school run for the boys. And I cannot tell you the difference that made in my life. Like in terms of being there in the mornings, checking in with them, going to school with them, and them seeing me in the morning, it added so much to my happiness, improved my mental health so much. I think I'd like to think it made the boys happier. And so actually what it's left me with is a desire to not necessarily be less busy, but to manage that busyness, to also make sure that you're prioritising doing those things at home. So that's kind of what it's left me with. It's been very difficult for me to answer this question. The whole time I've been talking, Tom has been like doing a fucking Sudoku or something off screen. What is it you're doing now?
Cutting my fingernails.
You're cutting your fingernails. So I'm sitting here making eye contact with you, right? Listening to your story, literally the second I said he goes Romsky, and then straight away he's looking down, cutting his fucking fingernails. You haven't even got the decency to give me the eye contact. You give a fucking Insta story.
No, I was listening, intently listening.
How can you be intently listening? Nice. You're cutting your fucking fingernails.
No, it's nice listening to you. It's quite, I found it therapeutic listening to what you were saying.
I'm not a podcast dickhead. You're having a conversation with me. Is your life that busy that the only time you can cut your fingernails is while you're doing your podcast?
No, I just was looking at them there, and I always have a pair of nail clippers on me. So I just looked at them and thought, oh, fucking hell, they look horrible.
I'd always thought to myself that cutting your fingernails is quite a casual kind of thing you do very, very quickly. Watching you do that, you're the sort of same look of concentration if you're trying to fucking learn Japanese.
But you've got to pay attention, so they're all equal. Like that.
Yeah, okay. So two things I would point out there. One, he's showing me fingernails on, once again, let me reiterate, it's an audio medium. And two, your nails weren't even. So
weren't they?
No. Are you telling me those two, do you think those two look the same?
Oh, yeah. I'll take a little bit more off that one, isn't it? The left of that one.
Anyway. Well, look.
But great. Lovely advice, and actually, which bit of advice?
What did I say that particularly stuck out to you? Do you think?
I think the thing about dropping your boys at school, and how much it meant to you was sweet, but actually, how much I think it probably meant to them.
Very good, very good. You know what you just did? You know when like you're having a chat, and then the teacher goes, "So what was I saying, Tom?" And you go, "You were saying about like how angles in a quadrilateral got added up to 360 degrees, Miss." Okay, all right. Try and pay attention.
You are that was teacher Rom as well, wasn't it? That you thought I wasn't listening, but I was.
Well, you can forgive me for having the impression that you weren't listening, bearing in mind that you looked down the whole time and were cutting your fingernails. You can understand how, you know, I wouldn't say that was paranoia on my part, would you?
I've got to cut my toenails in a bit, but I'll wait till later.
How often do you cut your toenails, bro?
Probably every other week. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, about the same, I'd say. I really don't like my feet, so...
I hate my feet.
I think you've got lovely feet. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Time for another email. Yo! To the Swan, Owl and Wolf. First, I love the show, and I came to it via Rom's work on Hip Hop Saved My Life. And it's a great pleasure to get to know Tom.
Oh, wow.
My question is a bit of a follow-up to the skincare conversation from this week's pod. I started losing my hair when I was 26. I just shaved it off and I never let it dent my confidence. I would even go as far to say I'm happy being bald and would encourage more bald pride, as I know lots of people struggle with hair loss. I'd like people to realise it's not the end of the world and it shouldn't affect your confidence. We're all beautiful, no matter what we look like. Practically speaking, I've always wondered about other people's head shaving technique. I shave my head every couple of days at home and use Gillette with shaving cream and an aftershave astringent thick and moisturiser. I have to do it at home because I live in South Korea and the barbers here aren't good at straight razor work. So I wondered what Tom's process is. As you guys are in showbiz, I wonder if you'd ever got extra tips from the makeup or hairstylist people on TV shows, because these people know skincare so well. I have sensitive skin, so any tips would be wonderful. Thanks for the show and peace and love to you sweet, sweet souls. Thanks, Niall Ruddy, the naked mole rat.
Niall Ruddy, you are a legend.
You know what? I knew you would love that.
You know what? Niall Ruddy, if we walk as a pride, man, you walk alongside me and Rom, man. You're a legend. You are a sweet, sweet legend, my friend. Look, I'm just going to say two words for you. Pitbull shaver. They are incredible. Like, as a bald man, these are immense.
He's actually got it in front. I don't know how this has happened, but he's actually got the thing in front of him.
Right, these are incredible.
Listen, show it up to the camera so that everyone listening to the podcast can see.
They are easy to use. They'll give you that, like, it's like a razor work across your own head, but you will get literally a finish that is gleaming and soft and gentle.
Is it one of those handheld ones that you just sort of get?
You handhold it. Yeah, they're the people who came out originally with the format of doing it. Other people have copied, but for me, they're still by far the best. I'd say as well, my man, Rudster, one of the best things to do, mate, is go for the Platinum edition. Platinum.
There we go.
It's a real piece of work. Feels nice in your hand. Looks cool. I've seen people use them on the trains.
Yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds like a cool thing. And if I saw somebody using them on the train, I think, oh, what a cool guy. I wish I saw more of that.
Have you ever done anything like brushed your teeth on the train or anything like that?
I mean, I have brushed my teeth on a train, but not in the carriage. I was on the Trans-Siberian Express in Mongolia.
Oh, here we go.
What? You asked the question.
You're such a show-off.
What?
You did that such a wrong thing. I can lean back right into the bend. So, yeah, when I was on the Trans-Siberian Express, of course I had to brush my teeth.
But I went into the...
I'll tell you actually quickly while we're talking about cool things. Heated beard comb.
Yeah. Thanks for saying something. I thought that was going to be an entirely silent bit there. Your ongoing stubborn refusal to accept that this is an audio medium is fucking breathtaking. It really is. So I've actually got one of those. It's a beard straightening brush thing, right?
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, they're very nice. Yeah.
How are you finding yours?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't used it at all.
Oh, mate, get on it. Yeah? Really. But your beard's a bit shorter now, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to grow it longer than this now. I think
that's it. Really?
Yeah.
I like it when it's longer. But I'd love for you to try out getting a French crop just for like a month or so.
I did have a French crop when I was at sixth form.
Yeah, that's horrendous.
My dad was so angry. Because I'd hair a bit like I've got it now, like sort of, it was much longer than this, like really long and curly. And I got fed up. And so I got a French crop. I think everyone was getting those at the time.
Yeah.
And then my dad, I went straight to work from the hairdressers. And then my mum and dad, I think they came to pick me up from work. And my dad, honestly, the look of just, it wasn't even my mum. My mum didn't even seem that bothered. My dad was just like, oh my God. He's like, do you want me to go and sort the guy out who did this to you? Like, he was trying to be funny. But I was so gutted because, you know, when you have like a, you make a big change like that, it's sort of quite nerve wracking, isn't it? And then to get cussed out by your own dad, I mean, it was bad.
Well, was he annoyed or was he just taking a mick?
He just thought it looked shit. He just thought it looked utter shit. He just thought my son's made himself look markedly worse.
I think the French crop was one of my favourite ever haircuts.
Why?
I just loved it. I don't know. I just felt, I don't know, there's a confidence that swayed around me at that time.
But also, you know, you get blokes that would try and sort of gel and divide the little bits at the front of the French crop.
That's what I did,
I could see that.
I used to, you know, remember that really cruddy blue gel I used to get? I used to just stick my hand into it. I had so much gel in my hair. Yeah. It was like hard. And I used to sort of sit there just for ages.
Yeah.
Just
individualising the strands. Yeah. God knows why we thought that was appealing. It's mental, isn't it?
And then just go and stand on your own in a nightclub for an evening while you're...
And then sort of later on, you sort of touch your head and then you break the sort of gel cast.
Or you're really dancing and really having a good time.
And then you just sort of wiping fucking poison out your eyes.
Yeah, or you're on the way to way somewhere and it rains and it foams. Yeah.
The number of times I'd be in a club sweating... And then just stingy wax or gel would be in my eyes, sort of dancing and trying to fucking dancing while your eyes are burning.
Did you ever go to a foam party?
Yeah, I did a couple of times. Yeah,
there's a famous one in Magaluf called BCMs.
Yeah,
which is like I think it was like one of the first ones. I remember going there and really like they had a light show, then they had a foam party, and I was dancing in the middle of the foam. Someone jumped on my back and my knee, like twisted my knee, so my knee ligament snapped. Yeah. So I hit the deck in the middle of this foam party.
Your knee ligament snapped? I couldn't stand.
Yeah. I like pulled my whole knee. My knee basically came out of the patella.
Oh my God, how painful is that?
Agony.
Right.
Agony. But... Also, what's even worse is I obviously hit the floor, and it's slippery everywhere. So I'm lying on the floor. People are dancing sort of around me or on me, sort of like kicking. Like, but not, because you're in foam, right? Yeah. So no one can see you. So I had to crawl like I'm in some sort of like war movie out of the foam took the whole dance floor over.
Yeah.
Obviously, on the floor, there's fucking broken glass. There's fucking, it was literally like, and people go, what are you doing? And I was like, the music's loud, looking down at me like I'm some fucking weirdo.
Like that guy at the beginning of Blade.
Yeah. And then there's just me going, my knee, it's my knee! It's my knee! Mouth full of foam.
So what happened? Did you have to go to hospital or something?
Yeah. I had to go to hospital and then I had my fucking... They were going to plaster it, but I said in the end, I'm not having it plastered, mate. Just do the sweet brace thing around it and that brace will do. So they braced it up. And and then basically I had a cool story to tell people when I was like out there for the next 4 or 5 days. God. I was on crutches.
You must have had so much sex off the back of that brace.
I didn't have any more or any less sex. I still didn't have any sex that holiday. I was quite known as the guy on that holiday who didn't have any sex.
I reckon I must be the only person that's ever visited Falaraki on a holiday and got nowhere with any women for the entire time I was there.
I'd like to jump in on that trend. I like to think that on every holiday, I pretty much left with a whole new group of friends who are girls.
Oh, it's so good having a load of sisters to keep in touch with every time.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, one of the most tragic things is I remember, it's just so fucking tragic. I remember a group of girls from Leeds. I made friends with on holiday.
Yeah.
And then they wrote to me afterwards. And my mum was like, oh, any of these your girlfriend? There was a picture of me and 4 girls. I went on the lads on it. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It's so sad, isn't it?
So tragic.
At the time, I remember, like, obviously, you know, it's fun talking about it now, but I remember at the time thinking nobody can know about this. Like, you know. Because everybody in you, look, I know it's a difference, but everybody be like, oh, fucking hell, honestly, mate, I've had so much sex, it's mental. If you can't have sex when you're in Falaraki...
That's the worst thing, isn't it? I remember, like, it's so funny how you look back at it, and there was a guy called Neil who was, like, the sort of club rep, right?
Yeah.
Uh, And I went from the age of, I think 15 was my first lads holiday. And I went every year for years, right? And for most of my teens, I was sort of, I was loud, but I just didn't have any sort of like luck in that direction. And I remember this guy, Neil, and he had a French crop, really sort of like gel, but everyone, you know. And I remember Neil in front of, like, we all went out for this big, big night. And then one of my mates told Neil that I'd got nowhere with anyone. And he told the whole of this pub crawl that I had no luck with any women.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, everyone sort of laughed. And one girl offered to kiss me, but it was done. And,
I hate that. Offered to kiss you. Like, she's kissing a fucking water buffalo or something. I had stuff like that happen to me. You know, like, just that sort of a sympathy snog. Oh, I'll kiss you. And then everyone sort of treats her like a war hero. Because she'd be kind enough to make direct skin-to-skin contact with the beast.
What's the worst thing of all? Is someone gets free shots for a night because they kissed you. All right, free drinks for Emma all night.
Fair play to her. She locked lips.
And as soon as that happens, your mate's server, you can't count that as a kiss because you've done under duress.
Right, Tom, it's about that time, RG. Can you please take us out?
Yo, how you doing? How does your day lie beneath you? Because let me tell you something. We are all growing. Sometimes we grow at a rapid rate. Some people outgrow others very quickly, and I'm not even talking about physically. I'm not talking about height. I'm not talking about weight. I'm not talking about muscle. I'm talking about inside. I'm talking about your soul, your heart, and your mind. The truth of the matter is, some of us fly from start, and it's easy to look at people and think, you know what, this person hasn't truly grown. This person hasn't learnt the lessons I've learnt. But the actual truth of it is those who are growing slowly, those who are, you know, holding back a little bit, worried a little bit, are actually growing to be the biggest and the most beautiful of flowers. So don't judge a guy or a girl for how many kisses they've had in a nightclub, or how many hands they've held, or how many times they've been on dates. Judge them by the smile and the eagerness they have to get up every day and go, yo, I might get crushed, but one day, I shall be free.
Mm, lovely. Really nice. I mean,
yeah.
My only issue with it is, you know, you sort of said, you know, people start off difficultly, but you've got no idea what beautiful flowers they're going to turn into. I would say that we are still two flowers that think we're hideous.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was lovely, Tom. Thank you so much. Guys, thank you for listening to the Wolf and Our podcast. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your support. Yo. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the tenderness.
And I'm going to set you all a little bit of homework. I want you to turn around to one person that you don't really know that well. Turn around to them and say, hey, do you?
Yeah, I'd say you need to know them a little bit.
yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But like, you know, just something, your postman or, you know, the woman who works in a post office or...
That depends on the context, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. But no, actually, no, it doesn't. I think do it.
Okay.
And they'll feel good. I said it to a waiter yesterday.
What? Where were you?
In Ask, the Italian restaurant.
Right. And what happened?
He was just great. He said a little way about him. He was cheeky. He had a real laugh. And as sort of, I gave him the tip at the end of the thing, he said, oh, thank you. I said, no, you deserve that, mate. And he said, oh, right, sometimes people find me annoying. I said, you're not annoying. You keep doing your yo.
There you go.
I fist bumped him and walked out.
That's Tom financially rewarding a waiter who's clearly being annoying to customers and reinforcing that behaviour is appropriate.
See you next.
See you next.
See you Friday.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.